Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Wallet Wisdom, a podcast presented by LMCU. If you're new to the show or have been listening for a while now, Wallet Wisdom is designed to help break down some of banking's more complex and confusing questions. I'm your host, Brett, and I can't wait to dive into today's episode. Well, again, a huge shout out to Stevie and Tiara for being on today's episode. Thanks again for being here.
Yes, thank you for having us. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Well, for our listeners, I'd love for you both to kind of share a little bit about what you do for LMCU and, you know, just the kind of approach that you take with our members and how you show up every day.
Yes. Well, I can start. My name is Tiara, and I am the Financial Wellness Coordinator here at LMCU. And that essentially means that I work with my manager in order to create presentations, seminars, even reality fairs for students to kind of be immersed into learning financial literacy and just making it more digestible to various audiences.
Nice.
So I kind of use, I was a teller for almost a year before transferring to this department.
So I try to use my
background in the branch world and my experience from there to really tailor our presentations in order to better serve the community.
That's so cool.
That's a little bit. It's really impressive.
My gosh. Thanks. I should have gone first.
Like, how do I go? No. Thank you.
Well, and I'll say too, Tiara, it's so good to be able to have resources that have been in our branches before as well, because there is that approach that we can sometimes miss of the daily interactions with our members, right? And how you can show up both for them in that space, but in the community relations and in another whole nother area as well. So now, Stevie, you also work in our insurance area.
I do.
And so, and you've done so many other things. I'll let you obviously tell us more.
So I'm Stevie. I've been with LMCU for almost 4 years, which is crazy to say. I'm considered administrative, which, as you know, wears a lot of hats.
Yeah.
But I primarily support the sales team in the insurance agency. So I handle branch referrals. So all the different leads that come in and also all the referrals that come in from the branches. So really good communication with the tellers, or at least I really strive to support that. And then also with our agents and keeping that flow as smooth as possible.
For sure.
It can be a real stream.
Kidding.
Yes.
No kidding.
No, it's really great. But another way that I support LMCU and the staff is the Wellness Champions team.
Yeah.
So I'm a 500-hour trauma-informed registered yoga teacher.
Wow.
I've been teaching.
Can you say that again? Because I think I heard a few things that I didn't understand for a second.
Yes. Absolutely. I am 500-hour
trauma-informed
registered yoga teacher.
That's incredible.
So the 500 hours just speaks to the amount of hours that I put in to study and become a teacher, which I'd put in 500 more. It's been the greatest experience of my life.
That's
and the trauma-informed piece speaks to the style that I teach. So my style is more about bodily autonomy and choice. People come to my class, they really are free to take up space and come as they are. I don't offer hands on assist or anything like that.
Yeah.
I offer choice.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up our wellness champions, because for those that are listening may not know, but LMCU, we are just passionate about wellness, our financial wellness, our body wellness, our mental health as well. And so we at LMCU have an internal volunteer-led wellness group. And so we get to, you know, really help to educate our staff, but also our members. And that's a big reason why we wanted to have both of you on today to just kind of share a little bit as we're thinking about that time of the year right now where finances are pretty stressful, right? And you're thinking about a lot of different things. Tax season, for those that haven't filed, you need to make sure you have it on your calendar. And then maybe for some of you that have already, it's maybe not as much as you were hoping for, or maybe there's some other financial aspects, but it's a stressful time of the year. And I think for our listeners and for our members, having some practical suggestions to really help them maybe approach that stressful season and maybe some new perspectives. So I'm excited to jump into that. In fact, one of my first questions is, you know, how does financial stress tend to show up in people's lives?
Yeah. And I can go first. Yeah. I was telling Stevie before we started that I was having a conversation with my manager and kind of discussing how at first, it's interesting how, I guess, stress can come up by in our spending. And I have witnessed this from personal experience. So I notice when I feel a little more anxious or I feel like I want to self-soothe in a way, I'm like, well, I deserve chocolate. But the thing is, if I'm anxious every day and I feel like I deserve chocolate every day, I am now purchasing a self-soothing habit perpetually that is now draining my account. And I think getting to the root of, okay, I'm anxious and I know I'm kind of pouring money into that anxiety. What is under that? Like, why am I anxious? Or what can I do to kind of soothe that on a fundamental level so that I'm not seeing the symptom of buying chocolate? Because sometimes it's deeper than just getting a treat or just deeper than, you know, doing something for yourself, which is important. You know, self-care is important. But if you're doing it in a way that is kind of counteracting your financial goals, you're not really investing into yourself the proper way. So I think definitely spending can show up in our financial stress every day.
Absolutely. And you know, we've talked on the podcast about budgeting a lot, right? And I think that a lot of times when we've talked about budgeting, that's another stress reducer usually. Because where stress can often show up in our finances, also if we don't know where our money's going or how it's going, sometimes it's eye-opening. It's like, man, I don't know about you guys, but I actually did a little exercise at the end of the year. We'll call it an exercise, but I learned that I was paying for Netflix twice. And then I was also paying for Apple TV also twice. And so it's those kinds of things that you don't realize, you know, and I don't know if any listeners can relate, but you know, sometimes you get a free trial and you forget to cancel that. And next thing you know, that little bit comes out and you don't always recognize that, you know, they can get hidden. So getting budgeted is, I think, probably a huge step in that as well. How else, Stevie, have you seen like some of that stress show up as well when it comes to finances?
Oh my gosh. The thing I'm thinking like most vividly right now is being at work, having a stressful day and just door dashing because you don't want what you brought for lunch. You're like, who did I think I was bringing a salad? I don't want that. Or the meal that you're having for the entire week, which is, it's a great habit, but you're not always in the mood for the same thing 5 days a week. So then you want to DoorDash and you're doing something relatively normal. You see the price, you're like, okay. And then you go to the pay page. If you don't pay attention, how is lunch $40? What is happening?
What's happening?
And that can't happen. Even just once a week, that adds up so extra, like so much.
Well, and it's funny you say that because the convenience of that obviously is awesome. Because I can relate to like there's nights you get home. Even here in Michigan, it's been really snowy, so going out just feels miserable, right? And so, you know, it's easy to just be like, I'm just gonna, you know, call in a delivery service, right? And it'd be easy. But I'll tell you, by the time you, like you said, you start looking at it closer. There's the processing fee. There's a delivery fee. Then you still feel obligated. And I get that. You should tip your driver. Driving.
They're driving in it.
It's not like I went and picked it up and was asked for a tip. That's different.
But
you start to look at all that. And just to have your food ordered and delivered to you. I mean, it's an extra $10, $15 alone just for all that. And so if you're doing that on a regular basis, you're going to start to see that, like you said, really balloon. And they finally got me like, okay, I can get out of my couch and get in my car and go pick up that food and save $15 and do my own driving. You know, it's, you know, but it is, it's those thoughtful moments that have to reevaluate. Sometimes you got to splurge, you know, there's times you're sick and you just really don't want to go out and you shouldn't go out.
So maybe a little mindfulness practice.
Where
you think like, maybe there's a really big thing that you need, a big purchase and you're like, I can't afford that. And then you, or I'm going to really have to save or set aside to make that happen. And then you look at your DoorDash and you add that up and you're like, that was it. That right there.
That's so true.
Not harping on DoorDash. I mean,
no.
We love DoorDash.
Exactly. And again, all of those services are meant for convenience. Where it gets into trouble, like you're saying, is that those convenience become the habit and become the norm. And it's those perspectives are important to sometimes have a reset. So we hope that today's episode is going to provide some of that as well. But, you know, I think about that component of stress, right? And I think about finances, mm-hmm. it tends that there's like three main big topics for humans that are more stressful than other things.
Right.
And finances itself tend to be one of those three, you know? I think it's finances, and then there's marriage, and then there's a funeral. And those are the big three stressful moments in a person's life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, knowing that, you know, why, I guess, is it that finances tend to show up that way? Because mm-hmm. it seems like it shouldn't be that way.
Exactly. And I think it's really because of shame. And me and Stevie really talked about this a little bit before, too, of how when, for me, I was an academic weapon growing up. I was a straight A student. Yeah. I was an overachiever. I loved it. But I felt like in finances, because I didn't know some things, there was the shame of like, I feel like I'm failing a class. Mm-hmm. And if I feel like academics and success is my identity or how I see value, I turn and I avoid and I look the other way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of us do that, not just with the academic analogy, but just in the sense of when you feel shame about something, you kind of perpetuate that shame. Well, I feel shameful that I feel ashamed. And it just continues to perpetuate a narrative of you avoiding it. And then you getting deeper into a cycle of, you know, maybe financial despair because mm-hmm. you don't really know how to ask, or you feel like you're behind, or you feel like this is stuff you should know, especially if we're grown adults at this point. And so it kind of it makes us feel like, well, if I just don't know, I guess I just don't know where to go from that point of, you know,
that's
deep
a great
humility.
Point.
So, I think it just, it comes to a point where we talk about self-awareness, but I think it's important to have radical honesty when you're having conversations with yourself, which allows you to be more authentic when you're in different spaces. And so being able to be honest with yourself about the fact of, okay, I understand maybe in this moment I may feel ashamed, I may feel embarrassed, but being able to actually sit with that is a level of humility and the radical honesty that a lot of people don't always get to, because we're trying to do things to soothe that or run away from it. So I think kind of that may have been what I was discussing in terms of facing the negative side of the emotions we may be experiencing.
And I know what you mean when you were talking about kind of turning away from what you don't know or what makes you scared. And having conversations, real financial conversation with friends.
Yes.
And daring to ask those questions and even maybe the ones you don't really want to ask. That radical honesty.
Just be truthful.
Right.
I can take it.
Oh, okay. So this is how you do this. Mm-hmm. Or this is why you did that. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend brought, now it's been 5 years, but a house. And us talking about what we make.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, you really don't make that much more than me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And understanding all the different things and facets that went into that. Like, okay, so I've never owned a home. So me thinking, oh, this really isn't not doable for me.
Yeah.
This is reachable.
Right.
It's just she had some strategy and some support. Mm-hmm. And, oh, okay, understanding that. Instead of feeling like it was this thing that I was never going to reach.
Yeah. Right.
And being here has been incredibly helpful, too. And shout out to Annika for help and service.
Yes, love Annika.
So helpful. But, you know, it builds confidence, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And not, you know, stepping out of that that sort of shame and feeling like you have no control.
Yeah. You know, it's even worse when we put our own self shame on that. Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for those that are listening, if that's where maybe you are right now, to know that there are people in your corner, whether you believe that or not, whether you realize that right here in your community, you know, LMCU, we want to be that partner. If you don't know, we want to help you understand that. That's why we do this podcast as well, right? Is for me even, and I've said on the show many times, listeners will probably know if they've been listening for a while, is, you know, I learn a lot on this podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a videographer and creative by nature. I'm not a finance guy by you know, trade. I've learned so much in my tenure here that I've been able to gain an understanding of. But still, it's amazing sometimes. Like, we've had a podcast about debt relief, right? And I had no idea the difference between a snowball or an avalanche approach. But those things are really important. And if you don't know what that means, check out our episode. It's about 3 years ago, but it's a great one. But again, I guess what I'm getting at is there's no reason for that embarrassment to continue. And I think it's easy to get into that, like you said, like we should know that.
Right.
But let's face it, there's a lot of things that in the finance space that are complicated, they're confusing. Mm-hmm. that even a savvy person has struggles with.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So. And I think you definitely hit the nail on the head with that in terms of just explaining that, because I think it just comes to a human level. And I think what people don't always recognize is how emotional finances are.
Yeah.
And I think kind of the just not being aware of that is another level of knowledge that continues to, like we said, perpetuate that cycle. So that's when the initial conversation is really helpful. And I just feel like being a financial wellness coordinator, I know people see the financial part and they're it's like, she's a big girl, you know, she's going to come and talk over my head. Absolutely not.
Right.
I really just want to come and just start the conversation of, okay, where are we?
Yeah.
And then kind of go from there. And it makes you learn more about the person. You build that rapport with them, and it helps them feel like, okay, you know, I remember when Tiara said this about, you know, and it kind of made me feel a little more confident here. And how do you keep pouring into people in that way so that they build that confidence, so that once that shame, you know, cycle is stopped and confidence becomes a cycle, then that becomes secular and that becomes more healthy as well. So
I love that.
Yeah, me too.
That's so good. So we're kind of talking about this a little earlier too, about, you know, just how those habits sometimes that form, and whether it's a DoorDash or maybe it's that candy bar every day or whatever, right? But I guess, what are some of those low to no cost, like, lifestyle changes that could immediately start to help with some of those things?
Yes.
Sure. The first thing that came to mind, of course, is there's a YouTube channel that's completely free. It's Yoga with Adrian, where if maybe you're someone that doesn't want to spend money on a membership, or it's just intimidating to step into a studio somewhere, you can practice from the comfort of your own home and step into some of those practices that bring you into your body. Because I think when you're in this like shame cycle, you're really disconnecting from a lot of things.
Yes.
The biggest of that being your breath. Are you holding your breath?
Are you bracing?
You gripping? A lot of people are, and they don't realize it until they start that practice. So for me, I'm always going to advocate for finding those things online first. Find what you like, because there's so much out there. And start there. It's small. It's easy. I have this quote that came up while I was reviewing our day in Chicago. It's MLK Jr., which is really fitting because it's History Month. It says, you don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step.
Sure.
And I feel like that can apply to so many things, not just your finances, but your wellness, your, you know, your mental health, all of those things. Just one little step. What can you do? A free video on YouTube helping you to remember how to breathe.
Yes. Well, so it's interesting, too, because one of the exercises that I have, so I've got two kids, okay, and my daughter just turned 18, so she's like in the adult phase in this transition, right? Welcome. Buckle up. But, you know, it's those moments where you're like framing it as the choices you're going to make now are going to help the future Brett or the future Caitlin or the future, you know, Tiara, whoever that is, right? But it's personal.
Yeah.
And if you can start to frame that, it's amazing how, and it's happened a few times where that next month, it's like, I'm glad those choices I made back in the past Brett. Like, I want a high five, right?
Yeah.
And so it's really just more of a mental framing of how do you show up for your future self in the present?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that can be helpful when you are in those, whether it's a FOMO moment or just like a, oh my gosh, I just need that candy bar moment. Yeah. You can start to think, but yeah, I know that I want it now, but I know that future Brett really wants that new Xbox. Yes, I do. But it's those types of things that start to reframe your priority list, I think, more than anything.
Yes.
So I guess with that in mind, you know, how can we at least still have fun, right? How can we still enjoy ourselves while being financially, you know, mindful, if you will, and not putting ourselves in places to fall into financial stress?
Exactly.
So how can we balance the two?
Yeah, I think it's really about just having more quality over quantity. So how I had mentioned wanting a candy bar, wanting something sweet or something in that regard, just measuring that out. There's no reason I'm going to the store Yeah. Every day. Right? For that, only because it's just a discipline issue at that point. So I feel like rewarding yourself, okay, I may be anxious in this moment, but using the techniques that Stevie was talking about, from mindfulness to quietness to prayer, whatever that you use, mm-hmm. I feel that using those in those moments so that you're not using your reflex of wanting to go self-soothe in this way will allow you to, you know, really enjoy the reward at the end of the week, whether it is a candy bar, or it is, you know, going out with your friends in an outing or things of that nature. It's about a balance, I feel.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Completely.
Well, and like we were saying too about budgeting.
Yes.
It's so much more fun when you know where your money's going and how you can use it.
Yes.
Right. You know, we've talked also in the past about like charitable donations and charitable giving and how people want to do that, but will often also feel like I want to just give, and they don't stop to think, do I have margin in my own finances to give that much to so many people, right? But when you know where that's coming from, it's even more enjoyable, and you can be a joyful giver, or you can joyfully go out and enjoy that meal with friends because you budgeted and you stayed within that, you know.
Prepared.
It's very freeing when you can do that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I agree. I definitely agree. And I feel like too, if you know you're someone that I really like when I hang out with friends, or I really like going to this meditation class, that just ends up being a budget line so that you're preparing for, you're investing in yourself and you're preparing for those outings as well. So.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So as we're wrapping up, you know, what are, I'd like to hear from both of you, what are just maybe one or two key takeaways you hope that listeners can walk away with to really start to maybe reframe their mindset around their finances and how maybe that's relating to their stress?
I think that I want listeners to take away the fact that financial well-being is heavily connected to all other facets of well-being, whether that's physical, like the yoga sessions, or emotional or spiritual. They're all heavily connected. And I think once people really open their minds to that, it really just opens a whole new world of understanding in terms of this is why I feel the way that I feel, not only like emotionally, but sometimes I can feel a little more bracing myself physically or things of that nature. And I think that allows for the recognition of, well, I don't want to feel that way anymore. And it allows, we're taking the numbers and the logistics, those are all important and a part of finances. However, when you first get to the root of the emotions and the root to how you feel and sitting in that vulnerability first by yourself before you reach out for help, that is a very important step that I want listeners to be able to do, because I've done it for myself and I feel like it's shown growth in my different areas, and I've seen other people do it as well. So being able to witness that has been great. So
that's so cool.
That's what I would recommend.
Yeah.
Gosh, so good. Should have gone first.
Again.
Please. I think I really love the first piece that you said about the financial wellness being tied to your actual wellness and all aspects. And I agree with that. I hope that any listener today, whether employee or, you know, just other listener, takes away that one, a small step is all it takes to get started. So whatever that looks like for you, I hope that you try. And then the second piece is, I mean, you are in the financial world, but I'm in insurance, and you know, there are people that we care and we're here.
That's right.
So LMCU is a great place to be, a great place to work, and a great place to trust both your finances and your wellness.
Yeah.
So
no doubt.
Yeah, reach out.
Yes. And I would also want to add on to that, if it comes to both members with LMCU and non-members, we actually have a financial wellness center on our website.
That's right.
So,
that's exactly right.
And in that, actually under the tools tab, you can go down to financial wellness assessment and ask you about 10 to 12 questions about your emotional state. And that allows for you to kind of, again, if you don't really know how to sit with yourself and really analyze your emotions, you can go on the website. You can see what they have to offer for that, and it allows you, again, more perspective. Cool. Yes, I tried it yesterday. I was like, oh, this is vulnerable. So that's something that is available to everyone as well. It's free.
That's awesome. I'm glad you brought that up, because I have been hearing more and more from members. It's a great free tool that has helped them to start to visualize their finances in some different new ways that is really helping them to, like we were saying earlier, the more you know where your money's going, the less stress that comes with that.
Absolutely.
Because you know that I can spend that money. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation as much as I did. If you've got questions or ideas for future podcast episodes, be sure to drop them in the comments below. Also, if you haven't already, consider subscribing and ringing that bell to stay up to date on future episodes on YouTube. You can also like and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you on the next one.